The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Show. You know, years ago, Eric and I were close, very close.
I remember that one summer we shaved each other's backs and thought nothing of it.
But over the years, somehow a shadow has fallen over our friendship, and now the two of us are about the hairiest sons of guns you can imagine.
And now the human sweater himself, Eric Metaxas.
Yeah, it's true. Todd and I'll never forget that summer, but I've tried therapy, I've tried everything, but I still can't get it out of my mind. Sometimes I wake up in a cold sweat thinking of Todd's back. It's disgusting. Folks, as you know, this is the program about everything, which means we talk about a lot of different stuff. Today, one of the things I'd like to talk about is what is going on in New York City. I'm in New York City. I was born in New York City. I live in New York City. My daughter was born in New York City. And, you know, we're here. And I want to tell the world what is happening in New York City, particularly with regard to what I like to call the Christian faith. Because a lot of people, when you think of New York, you don't think of people going to church and stuff. And yet there's zillions of us. And I mean literally 1.1 zillion. You can look it up. And so sometimes it's fun for me to have people in who are New Yorkers, who are living the life of faith. Some of them are even pastors. Very few, but some of them are pastors. We have in the studio today a pastor who's also a musician. I know him first as a musician. He's right here with me, and I have to stop pretending he's not. Vito and his wife, Monique. Vito, Monique, welcome to the program.
We're really glad to be here.
You guys are musicians, so you know how to work the microphone. So I'm not going to tell you your business. But I know you first as musicians. It must have been like 15 years ago I heard about the Welcome Wagon. Now, you guys are the Welcome Wagon.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. We absolutely are.
That's the name of your band.
Yeah.
The two of you.
Yeah.
You're the Welcome Wagon.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to hand me gifts and coupons and stuff? I remember the Welcome Wagon. 1972, we moved to Danbury, Connecticut, and the lady from the Welcome Wagon came, and I thought, this woman's crazy. Who is this? And
yeah.
she was wearing a weird hat. But the term Welcome Wagon is so cute. So I want you to tell your whole story. But before we get into it, first of all, you, Vito, are senior pastor of Resurrection Presbyterian Church, a church you planted right here in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
That's right.
Okay. So that's a new thing, because I think I knew of you even before that.
Yeah.
Greg Thornberry said, you've got to have Vito on the program. He's blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Greg Thornberry doesn't really have to say much. I just want to do what he says because I trust him and mm-hmm. I love him. He's such a good friend.
Yeah.
I didn't know about you, Monique. I mean, I knew theoretically that you existed, but now I get to meet you. So you guys are hard to sum up, which is why I like you, because mm-hmm. you're a pastor couple. You're pastoring a church mm-hmm. in New York. But you're musicians. So where do we even begin? The story,
yeah,
where does the story begin?
It's a good question. I think it seems like the people that I meet in New York a lot of times are doing the same sort of thing, cobbling things together. They're this thing. They're an accountant, but then they also love to write music, but then they
right.
also participate. And so I think it's not so uncommon to have that. But it's one of the things that we love about being here and about being together is that we get to share all these things together and our church community, and I think a lot of people that I know, that's true of you. We were just talking with some folks in the green room about all the different things you do. You write books, and you do radio, and you do Socrates in the City, and, you know, in some ways, it's a great place to be in New York because it gives you the ability to participate in all
I do all these different things, and people don't even know I'm a licensed upholsterer.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not true. Oh, I never got my license. But seriously, you're right. Like, sometimes in New York, people wear a number of hats because mm-hmm. you come here, yeah. the rent's outrageous. And so mm-hmm. like you wait tables and you sing or whatever. So you guys pastor a church, mm-hmm. but you guys are musicians. Now, first of all, how long have you been married?
Oh, if I might add, I'm also a preschool teacher. So I know I know your children's books with Nancy Tillman.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I don't want to make this about me, but tell me what you like about my books.
I like...
No, I was kidding. Stop. No, stop. So,
actually, I was curious. I'd like to know how you started writing them.
How and, I write children's books?
Yeah, how you started writing them and who you're writing to. And I love that the songbird dreams of the child that you're speaking with. It's That's such a lovely
people,
way to speak.
Thank you. A lot of people listening to this program do not know that I've written 30 children's books. Mm-hmm. And I've got a new one coming out this summer. Mm-hmm. But the point is that, we all do a lot of different things. And it is hard for people. I mean, I just met a woman yesterday. She's telling me all about my books, and she's so excited to meet me. And I said, you know that I do a radio program, right? She had no idea. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like, it's kind of mm-hmm. weird when you're doing these different
right.
things. So,
right.
but seriously now, because I don't want to talk about me
sure.
any more than, like, say, 45% of the program.
That's fine.
You guys are musicians. So first of all, when did you marry? How long have you been
It'll
together?
Be 20 years this summer we got married. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we've been married 20 years, and soon after we got married, neither one of us knew how to play an instrument. Neither one of us were trained musicians at all, but we both had grown up with music in our homes, and I loved music. Monique did too. And so I thought, I really want to be able to sing with my family. I want to sing hymns and songs. I didn't grow up with the Christian faith, but I knew people that did, and I envied the fact that they got to sit around with their dad and sing hymns and that sort of thing. So I ordered a guitar through the mail, and it came, and we took it out of the box, and that's really what happened. I got it out, and I started to try to learn how to play. And I had a hymn book, and I didn't know how to read the music, so I just started making up my own music to the hymns, and that's how we started being a band.
That's crazy talk. I like that. I love that. Okay, so you guys have been married almost 20 years, mm-hmm. and where are you from originally?
We're from Michigan. We're both from the same hometown. We grew up in the same hometown, and Monique is a really, really gifted artist, and she came here in 1992 to go to the Cooper Union, which is an art school downtown.
Not this Monique.
This Monique.
This one?
Yes.
Monique, you?
Yes.
Is that right? Seriously? Okay, so you guys, wait, but did you know each other in the hometown where you grew up in?
A little bit.
You knew
she
each other.
Yeah, she had a crush on me.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Not a bad one.
Man, if this was TV, people could just see. You've got this
yes.
lustrous beard.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. But
oh,
Monique, you, so you, did
you
hear that?
Oh
that was
gosh,
so cute. Oh
awesome.
My gosh. Okay, so you both grew up in Michigan, but in 1992, before you guys were together, obviously, you came to New York mm-hmm. to pursue art at the Cooper Union. What kind of art?
Sculpture, but I tried to do everything I possibly could. So bronze casting, film, photography.
So you wanted to be an artist person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Vito,
mm-hmm.
what's your story?
I went to Western Michigan University and studied literature there, but I mostly just did that because I had always loved reading and writing and stories, and it was there that I became a believer in Jesus, and I was part of a campus ministry there soon after I was converted, and for me, the intersection of those things made sense. I loved writing, I loved reading, and to be a pastor, a big part of it for me is reading the Bible and teaching it and being taught, and I just love the stories, and I love communicating the message of the gospel and communicating the message of God's love. And so those things all kind of intersected for me.
Well, you know, this is all kind of amazing. Now, before we go to a break or something like that, I just want to be clear. What is the website for the Welcome Wagon or for you guys? What is it?
Oh, that's a good question. See, you know, it's funny. We're really bad at it. Right now we're on Gospel Song Records, which is an imprint of Tooth and Nail. So if you just Google Welcome Wagon, you'll get there. We also are part of Asthmatic Kitty Records, Sufjan Stevens' label.
But who's not?
Asthmatic Kitty Records, yeah.
And Sufjan Stevens, that's his label.
Correct, yeah.
Now, a lot of people don't know. Tell us who Sufjan Stevens is, because a lot of people listening
right.
don't know.
Well, he's a great friend of ours, first and foremost, and really generous to us, but he's also a singer and a songwriter and a musician and a composer, and he owns a label called Asthmatic Kitty, and that's how we got our start. He asked us to be on the label, and he produced our first record, and that's what launched us on our musical career professionally anyway.
And so how many years have you been performing as Welcome Wagon?
Close to 15, I guess. We have three records. The latest record we had that just came out just a couple months ago. But we've been playing together and I'm performing together for a long time, for about 15 years. But those first couple of years were mostly in our living room.
And what's the name of the new album?
It's called Light Up the Stairs.
Light Up the Stairs.
Light Up the Stairs.
Greg Thornberry, I think, told me about that.
Yeah.
That's how we got this conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Vito, the Reverend Thomas Vito Aiuto and his wife Monique are here in the studio. You guys are the Welcome Wagon. I think we should play a little Welcome Wagon music as we go out of the break. We'll be right back with the Welcome Wagon. Stick around. Cut this off because I like it so much. I'm sitting here, folks, with the Welcome Wagon. That is a musical duo comprised of the two people sitting in front of me, Thomas Vito Aiuto and his wife, Monique. You guys, has anyone ever described you as quirky?
Unfortunately, probably yes.
Come on, quirky's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
What about cute?
She, her.
Yeah, we went those to- are the when-
Have I nailed it?
Those are the only cat calls I get when I walk down the street in New York City is somebody will say, cute, that's all, nothing else.
I would take it as a compliment, sister. I think cute is good.
Yeah.
And no, but seriously, you guys are very, you're so cute, I can't stand it. And I love cute, so that's a compliment. But you are cute. Your music is cute and sweet and beautiful and weird
Thank
and funky
you.
And all this stuff. And a part of what makes that so wonderful is that it's, those things are rare. A lot of music isn't like that. So you guys are basically, how would you describe music? Folk?
It's hard to classify. And when I say it's hard to classify, sometimes that sounds like you're reaching for saying that your music is sort of above and beyond any classification. But it does feel like that because some of our stuff sounds really hard rock, kind of what was just played. And then the first thing coming in was more like kind of chamber pop. And so...
Chamber pop? I've never heard that before. My head hurts. Don't say that again.
I'm sorry.
Chamber pop.
Okay. Baroque.
Yeah, if it ain't Baroque, don't fix it.
I know.
Okay, so but your music is different. Yeah. I guess that's the that's really pathetic, but it's true. It's different. It's not the typical kind of thing.
It's
that
like
you
saying
hear.
Somebody has a good personality.
Yeah. It's like, so what does she look like? Well, she's got a great personality.
Yeah.
And okay, but seriously, you've been making this kind of music, this quirky music for years, and you've put out these albums, and even the titles of the name of the band Welcome Wagon is itself quirky. So your first album's called Welcome to the Welcome Wagon. Now, how can you deny that that's quirky?
No, it kind of is. I mean, everything that we've done has a little bit of a sense of humor, and some of it is a little campy, and yet it's all stuff that we wanted to stand by and actually believe in, because none of this is done ironically or sarcastically or anything. Somebody came up to me at a show once, and I'm really a pastor, and she's really a pastor's wife, and we really are singing about Jesus. And somebody came up to me and said, are you serious? And I said, what do you mean? No, are you serious?
Did you punch him in the head?
I did. I
and
punched
say,
him.
Serious is a heart attack, jerk.
Yeah.
Now get out of this. No, yeah. But seriously, the reason I'm friends with Greg Thornberry and the reason he loves you is because we are all weird enough to be quirky and arch and all this kind of stuff and yet serious at the same time. That's a hard sell for some people.
Yeah.
I once spoke at a memorial service for someone who had just become a Christian, and everyone in the room was like hostile Brooklyn liberal atheists or whatever. Like they were just not, you know, whatever. And they were wondering, how did this person become a Christian? Like, this was like this brilliant writer, and I've talked about it on the show, whatever. And I got up there and I talked about it, but I talked about it in a way that would communicate with them. And one of them got up to me, and he just kind of assumed, because I was speaking their language, that I must be not a Christian.
Right.
And it sounds, it's kind of like what you're doing. Like you're walking this edge of, I guess the reason I like it so much is because it kind of forces people to pay attention.
Right.
Like, wow, like this is quirky, but serious at the same time.
Well, I wasn't raised as a Christian. I wasn't raised in a like intentionally Christian home. And so the music that I listened to and the way of thinking and speaking was outside of that realm. I don't think that that's bad. But I didn't grow up with Christian music at all. I didn't grow up listening to CCM. I didn't know any of those bands or things. And so the vocabulary or the grammar that I have for music or for communication is outside the scope.
Yeah, well, you
of that.
Kind of speak the language of the culture, at least musically. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of neat. Mm. So what do you do with these albums? Like, how do people know about you?
Yeah. So the first two records are on Asthmatic Kitty, and they're, and then the last one is on Gospel Song Records. And, you know, in a way we don't do a great job of promoting ourselves. We don't, like, you know, you said, what's your website? And we've never done a good job of that. We don't tour that much because we both have full-time
jobs.
So
you don't have a website?
No.
I think we do.
Oh, this is hilarious. I think we do. I think we do. If that is not the epitaph of your career, like, you guys are dead. Seriously, folks.
Yeah.
Monique was just asked, do you have a website? She actually turned to Vito and said, I think we do. That's so funny. I could scream. Okay, so the point is, you've done a poor job of marketing yourself until now.
Yes.
Your career is so going to blow up.
It's so good.
Because there are dozens of people listening to this program, and they're all judging you right now. Like, I don't think these people are really Christians, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
But seriously, this is so wonderful what you're doing. And it's the kind of stuff that appeals to me. And again, Greg Thornberry is such a close friend, because there are very few people who get this, or at least we don't know about each other. And I think that it's Sufjan Stevens could be accused of the same kind of thing.
Like,
it's hard to figure him out.
Yeah, it's just, I think for us, this is true for our music, it's true for our church. Maybe you just follow wherever the Spirit leads, and sometimes it's going to be a little bit counter to what other people are doing, and sometimes it will. Like, I don't have any sort of, there's a lot of Christian contemporary music that I like. You know, David Crowder is a good friend of ours, and he's been really kind and really generous to us, and so sometimes it's going to line up and match up, and sometimes not, and all that's okay. You know, we have friends that you consider more progressive, and we have friends that you consider more conservative. We have friends that are, you know, really entrenched in Christian music, and we have friends that are far outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. We want to try to live with integrity and faithfulness in what we're doing, and hopefully that leaves room for us and for other people to be who God is calling them to be.
Yeah, I think we're okay with doing things that we might not do exactly perfectly. But we think if it's valuable, we should at least try it.
You know what Chesterton said about amateurs, right?
Oh,
the famous line. He goes, "If something is worth doing, if something's really worth doing, it's worth doing badly."
Yeah, actually, I just read that.
And what he means, obviously, is that if you love something, amateur means that you're someone who loves something.
Yeah.
That you're not a professional, but you love something. So you just want to do it, even though you might not do it at a professional level. Now, let's not kid ourselves. You guys are at a hugely professional level with your music.
Right.
Yeah.
But your attitude, it's a really sweet attitude that you're saying, we're just playing and doing these things, and we just put it out there. And there's something very healthy about that idea.
Oh, I would like to make a lot of money, though.
Well, exactly. But you're not slick.
Yeah,
I mean,
think we could describe
you. I think we could describe you as not slick.
I wish I was more slick.
It's such a compliment to be described as not being slick.
Thank you. Not even
knowing if you have a
Thanks.
Website. Monique, I will never, till the day we die, I will remind you of that. That's so cute. I can't stand it. But so, okay, but obviously people can just, you know, look up Welcome Wagon online and they'll find you and stuff. So, but you're the pastor of a church. So, you, on Sundays, you preach.
I do. I did yesterday,
And you preach, you believe in the Nicene Creed.
I do.
You believe in the resurrection of Jesus, bodily resurrection.
I
You're
do.
A hardcore Jesus freak.
I am.
Living in Brooklyn.
I am, yeah. I mean, that's what, all these songs and all the things that we do, you know, like, you know, some of the songs that I write, we use in our church. You know, we have a song using the first question, the Heidelberg Catechism.
That was the one we went out of the previous segment.
Yeah.
And it was Monique singing these. What are the words? I can't remember some of them. Do you remember any of them?
What is your only comfort in life or in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul to Jesus. And so those are all things that we really do believe. Again, this is some of this is playful and some of it is even a little campy, but it's not because we don't believe it. It's because that's, you know.
It's how you express yourself.
In a way, yeah, in a way.
Well, as I say, I mean, I have the same problem, you know, and I think that it's funny because, you know, part of the problem of Christian faith in America is that a lot of people perceive it as over earnest, right? Mm. Like it's the most serious thing in the world, but that doesn't mean you can't have delight and quirkiness and you know, and laughter and joke. I mean, I joke around about my faith a lot because it's the most serious thing to me. So that's a kind of, I think it's how I express delight is by joking because there's something so delightful, but there's some people that they're, I would say religious in the negative sense, and they don't get that. They can't. Mm. They can't. They think, how can you be? Are you mocking God? Would be their would be their question.
Right.
And I would say, no, not even close. But I'm trying to glorify Him. Yeah. But
we had an electrician come in and fix a light, and we were living in a church, and he was fixing the light, and the screw was threaded, you know, so he couldn't turn it. And then he said, oh. It's like somebody was doing it for Jesus. I hate it when they do that. Like they give an extra turn, and then they
I want to come back to that because I like talking about threaded light bulbs. We're going to be right back, folks, talking to the Welcome Wagon. This is the Eric Metaxas Show.
Shining from their stars at last, you shall be my very own.
Hey, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. That is so beautiful. I hate to talk. And that's saying something because I love to talk. I can't shut up. Monique and Vito, honestly, so beautiful. Your music, really, there isn't anything quite like it. It's just, it's beautiful.
Thanks.
And Vito, you understand you need to stay married to this woman because her voice has a lot to do with your success.
I know.
Or
I
your
know.
Failure, you know? But seriously, that's so beautiful because, and that's the cool thing about voices, too. It's like, it's that's who you are, but it has a quality to it. By the way, I just Googled Welcome Wagon.
So do we have a website?
And you guys don't exist. No, you guys, look, there's a picture of you right here, and it's like, you don't have a website, but Asthmatic Kitty Records comes up, and other stuff comes up, so people just have to Google Welcome Wagon, but your music is fantastic. So if people want to buy it, though, they can go to, like, the iTunes or anything.
Yeah, iTunes or Amazon or any of the major places you get music.
And Monique, are you sure you're on Amazon? Are you sure?
Yeah.
She is so cute. I want to marry her. And I've been married for 20 years, but she's so cute.
I know.
You guys are cute. Has anyone ever said that?
No. You did last session.
I've never said that.
And you don't know me that well.
I've never said that. I know. I know. Outside, once you leave the studio, you turn into a monster. I know. I can see that. I can see the pain in Vito's face. But so you guys, you're making this music. And it's like that last song, I guess that was my favorite. So it's really, I would call it worshipful.
Sure.
Like I just want to keep listening to it.
Sure.
But unfortunately, I had to stop and talk to you guys.
Right. Mm-hmm. I know.
It's really hard.
I know.
So, but do you play, what's the name of that song?
So that's called Galatians 2:20. And that's a song that I wrote for our church to be able to sing that song. So we sing it almost every week. And it's the version we sing at the church is pretty short. But part of the reason we did that so people could memorize scripture. Now the version that you just played is a lot more orchestrated, and we brought a gospel choir in to record with it and the people that play with us. And so it's used in a more liturgical way at our church, but we also wanted to record a bigger, more lush and round sounding part of it, you know, and we did it in the record.
I love it.
Thanks.
I can't tell you how much I love that. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really proud of everybody that worked on it. We had a lot of really talented people to help us with it.
Well, it's balanced in just the right way. And so you got it right. I don't know where you did it, but where do you record your music?
Mostly here in New York. We recorded some of this record out in New Jersey at a friend's studio, but we also have done a majority of the work here in studios in New York, and we do a fair amount of it just in our home. I mean, you can set up in your home now and make a record, and we've done it.
Now, Vito, you know, you can talk to me about this.
Okay.
That at home, is Monique this nice, or does she have a really, really dark side that you don't even want to talk about publicly?
You know, that's a double, that's a kind of
it's a tough. Yeah, it's because she's right here. What's she going to say?
Here she is. She's a really beautiful woman inside and out, and that's the truth.
But, oh, boy, did I put him on the spot, and I could tell that he meant that, though. That's so cute. No, you guys, it's so funny because you're has anyone ever called you cute? You're sort of cute. The two of you are really cute.
I'm trying to remember. There was this bespectacled man earlier in the day that said that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so, you grew up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. And what I didn't get, Vito, you said, obviously, Monique, you were talking about you came to New York in 1992 to study art. Mm-hmm. Now, Vito, how did you end up coming to New York?
I more or less followed her out here. She was going to the Cooper Union, and she came back for the summer, and I was at where I lived. We knew of each other when we were growing up. And,
right.
But that was when we just met, and within like 3 days, I thought, I want to be wherever she is. And so I was thinking about going to seminary at that time, and I ended up going to seminary in New Jersey because it was close to New York. And then I came to New York, and that was the first church that I worked at, was in 1998. We got married.
So what summer did you guys meet and fall in love?
1994.
94?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Monique, would you describe that as accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
I always want to know, what does she think? I could just see her saying, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm really not sure.
I think
Vito,
that we got
is
married.
Is that right?
I'm almost sure that we got married. I remember a big party. Okay. I remember signing a contract
so
at some point.
So you guys moved to New York in 94. You're together now. Where did you go to church here when you didn't pastor a church?
The first church that we went to together when we weren't pastoring was Redeemer.
Redeemer Presbyterian with Tim Keller.
That's correct. Yeah.
Incredible.
But, yeah.
Yeah. And I went to Times Square Church before that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was there yesterday. I met my wife at Times Square Church.
Really? Mm-hmm.
In
wow.
fact, I met all three of my wives right there at Times Square
That's
Church.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
No, I seriously did. I went to Times Square Church for 5 years. When I first came to faith, I went there for 5 years from Connecticut, driving in and out, whatever. And now I preach there sometimes on Sundays at 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just there yesterday. And I love Times Square Church, but I'm so surprised that you would have even known about it. Okay, we're going to a break. I really like to keep talking to you guys, so please don't move. We'll be right back. Folks, it's the Welcome Wagon. Google the Welcome Wagon.
Don't you want to see me now? I made my way. I'm older now. So fair, would you come and see me? Sweet, the birds hush their singing.
Mm. It's the Eric Metaxas Show, folks. I hate to interrupt that wonderful music. I'm sitting here with the welcome wagon. That would be Reverend Vito Aiuto and his current wife, Monique. How long you kids been together? 20 years?
Yes, we've been married.
It won't last. Yeah. The first 20 years are the easiest. Believe me, the next few months, you're going to see what I'm talking about. Okay. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Pray for us.
Oh, really?
No, you see, I just spoke. Oh, stop. She's kidding me.
She's terribly, no, she's not. She's just terribly earnest.
Is she that earnest?
She is an Israelite in whom there is no guile.
It's so cute. I can't take it.
It's not. I think it's not helping me, though, in life.
Well, no, yes, it is. Hey, you're here. This guy's sticking with you, right?
Yeah.
Right?
All the way.
Vito?
Yeah,
it's right?
And she's going to stick with me, too.
I know. Yeah. I know. That's why we could joke about it.
I know.
Okay, now, Monique, you wanted to show me some drawings, you said. But you know, like, this is radio.
That's right.
So most people don't have the kinds of radio sets where they're going to even be able to see it at all.
That's called a television.
Because
isn't
I just wanted to show you. I mean, maybe afterwards.
Maybe I can react to it verbally. What did you want to show me?
Sure.
What did you want to show me? I think it's important on radio to show drawings, just to show that I don't want them to be limited to the nonverbal. And why did you want to show me these drawings?
Oh, because
let me hold this up to the microphone so the audience can see it. Look at this. Oh my gosh.
Because it's just who I am, so I can't help it. It's kind of like, and I also know that you, I mean, because I want to get to know you as well. And I want to share my life with you, and I want you to share yourself with us.
These are beautiful drawings. They look European.
Yes.
Where is this?
Vito,
let me hold this one up
Grant
to the microphone.
Yeah, that one.
What do you think of that, folks? Holy cow. So, yeah. So tell me, that was France?
It was Italy.
I forgot to ask you. Do you guys have kids?
We do.
How many kids do you have?
One.
We have one.
You have one?
One wonderful child.
And what is your wonderful child's name?
His name is Isaiah.
Isaiah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not like you're putting any pressure on him or anything like that.
No.
Well, we just have one, too. And sometimes you can only get what God gives you, right?
That's right.
But it's just so wonderful that God has blessed you with a kid.
It is.
And how old is Isaiah?
He just turned 11 a day or two ago.
Oh, so he's still little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love that. Okay, so you're living in Brooklyn. This is so counterintuitive. You're living in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're pastoring a church. You got a kid. You're making music. You're drawing drawings. What else do we need to know about you that you haven't shared?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
I would expect you guys would like be farming on the rooftop or something.
If they would let us, we're not allowed to be on our roof. There's the insurance that doesn't allow you to be up there. We've tried to actually get it to be green up there to put turf on it.
I knew it. I've reduced you to a cliche, folks. Yeah. That's my goal here is to reduce people to a cliche.
It happens.
These Brooklyn types, you know that they want to be farming on the roof.
Yeah.
Okay, your second album is titled Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices.
Yeah.
Now, that does sound like you're mocking, but I know you're not. Like,
no.
That's what I love about you guys.
No, there's a book. There's a Puritan book called Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices, and it's a book that I really loved. And we conceived of that second record as, like, medicine to help us and to help other people spiritually. And the whole record is laid out like a worship service. So the beginning is, like, sort of a call. The end is a benediction. In between, there's all sorts of those things. And again, we know that it sounds a little bit like that, but I love how that sounds, and we really did...
Well, again, I think what you're doing is something that I do sometimes. You're kind of being provocative and challenging people to, like, actually look at this.
Yeah.
And then they look at it and they're like, whoa, it's not making fun of it. Huh.
Right.
Weird. Interesting.
Right.
You know, it's...
Yeah, and it's somewhat intentional in the sense that I hope I know some of what's going on. But it's also just that I loved that book and I love how those words sound. And it isn't geared to sort of say, I want this impression made. It was more that we loved that idea and we loved that... conception of how we'd put those songs together.
I think Vito is a poet as well, and he had a book of poetry published before he became a musician. So his background is in writing and poetry, and I think that really, really speaks to his songwriting. So that you'll have, you know, voices will, yeah, it'll, yeah.
Monique, haven't you said enough? I mean, this woman, just quiet her down.
I know.
Don't let her drink another Red Bull. It's just driving me out of my mind. What a motor mouth. Jeez. No, but seriously, you guys, you write poetry.
Yeah.
And so. Actually, you know what? You were asking about children's books.
Yeah.
The reason I'm laughing is because I feel an affinity with the two of you, and the fact that I am also like all over the place.
Right.
Some people would say scattered. I don't care. It's who I am. And but I wrote a lot of poetry and stuff, and I wrote – I didn't even have a child. This is like 21 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this lullaby poem called It's Time to Sleep, My Love, which became a children's book.
It's beautiful.
But it could be – thank you. But it could be a lullaby. In fact, the daughter of James Taylor and Carly Simon recorded it as a lullaby.
Oh, really?
And nobody – that's the great marketing of Macmillan Audio. No one knows. It's really important that no one know. But the point is that all of these things, you know, being an artist, sometimes you are all over the place.
Yeah.
And, but so are you, do you write poetry independent of your music?
I do. Yeah. So I've had, I had a book published earlier on a number of years ago, and then occasionally I have things printed. The last thing I had printed was actually a sermon that I gave at church, and First Things printed it in their,
First Things magazine.
Yeah. On their digital, yeah.
The only time I've ever been published in First Things magazine was a poem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then we have that in
what
common.
What year was that?
That was 1999.
Yeah.
But here's the freaky thing.
Okay.
I sent them three poems, two poems that I'd written really recently, and then one poem that I wrote in college. They published the one that I wrote in college. So it's like I wrote it when I was 19, and it was in First Things magazine. And the more recent stuff, they judged as trash. They didn't say that. But okay, we're going to a break. Here, we got some music. Here we go. To interrupt that, not I, but it's my job to interrupt that. Has anyone ever described you guys as cute?
No, not to my knowledge.
No, well, because sometimes I think that maybe that's a good way to describe you.
Yeah.
You're cute. Okay, we just have a few minutes left in this hour. I'd love to continue talking to you. I don't know if we'll have time, but so, we were talking about art and poetry and all these different things, and it's sort of funny because I so rarely meet artists like you in my circles, and it's funny because it makes me want to collaborate.
Yeah.
You know, like I think like it just would be fun to do that. So I should at least come out to Brooklyn and attend a church service with you guys.
I think that's what it's part of the reason why I think we do all sorts of things is that we love working with lots of different people, and so you get to work with different people, and they bring what they bring, and we've done that with a lot of different folks, and it's fun to see what will happen. There are a lot of people in our church who work together. There are people who do drawing, people who do design, people who do dance, and it's fun to see them all collaborate, even when we're not part of it. But a lot of times we'll have included in our videos and in our music.
You have people like sculpting during the services?
No, our actual church service is really a lot more traditional than that.
No sculpting? What kind of Pharisee monsters are you?
I don't
God.
Know.
I guess you go like, oh, no sculpting. There. That would.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez. Okay.
Maybe this Sunday. Maybe for the sermon, I'll sculpt something.
I like to sculpt my own torso out of cheese. Would that like challenge your faith too much? Is your God big enough to handle that in the middle of a
that's
service?
Too far out of the box.
Huh?
For me.
Yeah. Huh? All right. Okay. No, I don't know where I was. I was with some Christian artist here in New York like a number of years ago, and there was some British guy, and he was like, He's like, no, we don't want to have any rules, no pews, oh, just we can have a and just yeah. just do what you, whatever you like just if you want to draw or sculpt or whatever God moves you.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is ridiculous. But it was just so funny. It was just so funny. Like, yeah, my church is so harsh that they will not let me sculpt during the service. Right. Like, what is that? God is into sculpting. Yeah. And he loves art and beauty. Okay, so we can't plug your website because you don't have one. So what else, Monique, what should we talk about? Do you wear flowers in your hair?
Occasionally.
You seem like you should.
Sometimes.
Doesn't she seem like her personality?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever described you as Faye? F-E-Y. No?
No.
It's a really harsh insult. I'll never say that again.
No,
it's sweet.
No, it's not. Thank you.
Kind of.
It's a compliment.
Kind of elven.
Thank you.
Yeah, elfin, except without the ears.
Yeah.
You know, like cute elfin Faye.
Thank you.
Faye. I just want to listen to more of your music. Is that going to be a problem?
No, you can find it anywhere. You can listen to it now, later.
I think we're gonna go out of this hour with music, but I want to have you back as soon as possible. So don't even leave, because let's see what's planned for the day.
All right,
folks. Obviously, you now are aware of the Welcome Wagon, and please avail yourself of their music making.
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.